How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeart Radio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio. List goes on and on, the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. We have so much stuff to talk about here today, I don't even know where to begin. Dr. Lucha is going to be joining us, as always, on Fridays in the final segment of the show. We'll talk about all of the big news coming into the weekend, Lucha Underground, and so much more. That is Dr. Lucha in the final segment of the show. Got tons of news today, including, yes, this one, UFC light heavyweight Tom Lawler was put in a provincial suspension Thursday by UFC due to a potential USADA violation from an out-of-competition drug test taken on October 10th. Lawler, a regular guest on our audio shows, that's putting it lightly, he's got his own show at WrestlingObserver.com, has been a UFC regular since 2008, his run on the Ultimate Fighter reality show, has a career 10-6-0-1, last seen dropping a close decision to Corey Anderson March 5th. Before that, the 33-year-old was ranked in the top 15 in the light heavyweight division, coming off a knockout win over Jean Valente, his first match after missing 2 years due to knee surgery. He had been out of action due to a training injury, did not have a current fight scheduled. Lawler declined to comment until he speaks more with UFC personnel on Friday. And whenever Tom is ready to talk about this whole situation, he will be doing so. May have a statement today, and we'll update everybody as best as we are aware. I'm not sure what I can say, really, so I'll let Tom say it. But that is the story on Filthy Tom, and there is much more to come. We've also got a ton of notes on TNA and Billy Corgan. We've got a main event for a WWE pay-per-view more than a month away. Don't even ask me why. Weight-cutting disasters, and so much more. Back in a moment to kick it off with Mike Sempervivi, Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. What a day! We got a lot of stuff to talk about here today, and I believe we may have two guests here on the program, so we have no time to waste. The situation with TNA and Billy Corgan had a few twists and turns this morning, stemming from a New York Post article by Richard Morgan. This from the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. Richard Morgan has been doing a lot of stories on TNA, and suffice to say, there are people who believe he is favoring one side over the other. Let's just put it that way. Anyway, it says the key to the story is that even though TNA is being controlled and funded by Anthem Sports and Entertainment, for reasons of saving money based on the Corgan contract, they are claiming they haven't been sold, even though for all real purposes, they have been. The point to this is that Corgan's deal with TNA, when fronting them $1.8 million, a figure that Corgan has now confirmed, which was mentioned in court, by the way, is that if the company was sold, he was entitled to a 50% transfer fee, meaning the company would owe him $2.7 million. Anthem Sports has been willing to pay Corgan $1.8 million, or at times $1.9 million, claiming they were willing to pay 6% interest, but not $2.7 million, and also insist on him dropping his lawsuit against them before they would pay him. Corgan is asking for the money, but refuses to drop the lawsuit, claims if they don't pay him, he has a right to convert the payment into 36% of TNA stock. God only knows why. It would be a minority interest. Anthem is clearly avoiding the term purchase of TNA. The term purchase. If they claim they have purchased, they will owe him the transfer fee. But if they don't claim they have purchased, I guess they feel they won't. Now, he has not been paid yet. He was due on November 1st, and I believe in this article they claimed that TNA says he hasn't been paid because he hasn't asked for it yet. I'm not making that up. So Corgan went on Twitter today, and he says, "Yep, just published New York Post article asserts a judge in case ruled against my receiving $2.7 million in Anthem swap deal. This is false. Case open. Today I am formally requesting repayment of my so-called loan by TNA, which I'm told was stalled because they didn't know where to find me. Laughs aside, I'd put up $1.8 million for the express purpose of becoming the equity stakeholder and helping a talented roster. Any other assertion is false. So if I'm not repaid today in full and without conditions attached, I'll be forced to once more pursue remedy by taking TNA stock via court. Remember, it was Anthem who... It was Anthem and not I who stood in open court and told the judge they were prepared to pay and in turn fund good old solvent TNA, a company which, he writes, they claim they have no business deal for behind the scenes, yet have released two press releases saying they are taking over. So far be it from me to accuse somebody I don't know of bending truth to win a case. This just wouldn't be nice, and I believe in being nice. Last thing, Corgan says, despite being called a lender by every arm of TNA propaganda, I can still convert to a 36% stockholder or sell the option to the highest bidder. And that option, if you will, to convert my boo-hoo-hoo loan to 36% stock or auction it off to a pro wrestling titan, doesn't require a court order. So I guess he's threatening there to sell his 36% stock to WWE, although I don't know if they would want it. So that's the latest update. This just will never end.
Doesn't seem like it, will it? I love the we couldn't find him. Now, granted, that is coming from his side, but judging from everything we know about TNA, including yesterday's press release about Challenge in the UK, I can only imagine it fits in perfectly with somebody that is looking at their phone that's been shut off because they haven't paid the bill going, well, can we call them? No. Can you call them? No, my phone's shut off too. God, we need some money coming in. We just can't find them to call them to set up the meeting.
I got more here.
On TNA?
No, this is WWE.
Thank God.
And I don't even know what happened here, but it was randomly announced today that Kevin Owens will face Roman Reigns for the Universal title as the main event of Roadblock on December 18th.
What?
Yeah. That is at least 6 weeks away, maybe seven. There has been no angle shot. For all I know, somebody accidentally posted this on WWE.com and now it's a story. The surprise is that no angle has been shot. Usually pay-per-view main events aren't announced until after the angle is already shot. There are two pay-per-views before this show takes place, starting with Lesnar versus Goldberg. The company has started announcing pay-per-view main events before the prior pay-per-view takes place, likely because UFC has been successful announcing matches ahead of time. We had reported yesterday that Owens versus Reigns was going to be the new championship direction in December, but that information related to plans at house shows, which also changes every week. It is also noticeable, since coming off the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view and how it has worked, it would have appeared that there would be an Owens versus Seth Rollins versus Chris Jericho program prior to the official eventual Reigns program, which has always been the direction, but not expected this quickly. That's from Dave. So, I don't know. That's the main event 7 weeks from now. I guess the angle is Roman Reigns is U.S. champion, and historically, the U.S. champion is the number one contender for the world title. But that's a very weird announcement that randomly came out of nowhere today prior to two more WWE pay-per-views.
I guess in some ways it doesn't matter because everything airs on the network first and foremost. But there's a reason that you do this and make these announcements with big fights and things like that, because it's about selling tickets and all that sort of stuff. They're just them doing it because they see the success of the UFC doing it, or probably that's why they're doing it, and not having any understanding or idea why that it's taking place is talking about the ultimate in doing something just to do it. Now, I don't think it's going to damage anything, and I guess maybe possibly in a way, if you actually have to adhere to what you say publicly, you'll have to follow through when it comes time for that match to take place, and it's definitely going to take place because you've already announced it and sold tickets off of it. But then their love of swerving at the last minute and changing plans and doing things like that, then isn't that an issue? I mean, I know the card is always subject to change, but with how WWE baits and switches all the time on purpose, I don't think this is really the best idea, especially when they just flat out don't have any understanding even why they're doing it.
I got an update from Wild Talk Radio. It was not WWE.com. It was the arena that announced it. So that means twice now in the last 5 days, an arena has broken news for WWE. The return of The Undertaker.
Thing?
the return of Undertaker on the 900th episode of SmackDown. That was announced by the... That was broken. The news was broken by the actual building. And now the arena here announced a main event for a WWE pay-per-view 7 weeks from now. And so I guess it's official.
I guess. And maybe it's, again, maybe that's kind of like their media partners and things like that. Maybe that's a new thing that they're having the arenas do. And it gives, you know, the arena some social media attention and things like that. Maybe that's the deal. Otherwise, it just, well, I don't know why this would be happening.
I got more. This really isn't big news. It's just, I'm so over weight cutting in MMA. It's been years now, but it's
been over all of these stories so far today.
It's a waste of my time. Here, we got two today. Charles Oliveira weighed in as a lightweight for his featherweight bout with Ricardo Lamas at Ultimate Fighter. This is from MMAfighting.com. He weighed in at 155, surpassing the 146 one-pound allowance for non-title featherweight bouts. He missed weight by 9 pounds. He actually missed weight by 10 pounds, but since you get the one-pound allowance, they're calling it 9. We also have Friday night's Bellator, Paul Daly versus Derek Anderson. Fight has been canceled. After a difficult weight cut, we, along with Mike Mazzulli from the Mohegan Athletic Commission, made the decision to pull Paul Daly from tonight's event as a precautionary measure. I guess he cut a lot of weight, and even though he weighed in at 171, they didn't feel that he was fit to fight. Cool, guys. Glad we're cutting all that weight because we're cowards. Stand by that until the end of time.
And you know what, guys?
Just fight people who weigh what you weigh. Let's get over this. Come on.
Your kidneys will thank you later, too.
Sick of it. Back in a moment. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, and Jeremy Botter of Flow Slam is joining us here today. We have an event tonight, and we have news to talk about here. Jeremy, what's going on?
What's going on, Brian? Good to be back.
Let's kick it off with tonight. What's happening?
Yeah, we've got Shine 38. Super exciting, man. It's our first, you know, it's our first live event, and all systems go. We're really happy with the way things look, and we think, man, I think everybody's going to be really, really happy and surprised with the product they see tonight.
So is this your full flow production facilities being used here?
So we have, I mean, you know, Shine is kind of running the places they usually run with a little bit of upgraded technology, and you know they will run on our platform, which is we use for streaming on all of our sites. I've been using it for 10 years, and it's really an incredible platform. I'm not geeky enough to understand how it works, right? Or they've tried to explain to me before, like little bits and pieces, and I get lost completely. But all I know is that it delivers incredible video, very reliable. And if you're used to seeing iPay-per-views and having bad experiences with them, I don't want to jinx myself, man, but I think you're going to be happy.
Well, that brings up a question here, which is a great question to ask you since you don't understand any of the technology. So there have, in fact, been pay-per-views that have ended up being a disaster. And the next day, we talked to the company involved, and the answer that we normally get is that the building we ran in, the internet sucks. Now, I understand that there are systems that I presume Flow is using where basically you can get very, very good video streaming on what is not a very, very good internet stream. But are you aware of any buildings that, for example, Evolve was running regularly? I guess actually they probably wouldn't be running regularly if the internet sucked, but are you aware of any buildings that are no longer going to be run in just because the internet stream is unreliable?
I mean, I don't know any specifics, but I mean, you're right. Like that, you know, the speed of an upload at the venue is, you know, is almost always the major problem. And our platform is capable of kind of adapting to that and delivering video at a lower quality, you know, maybe not at a full HD quality, but kind of continually delivering the stream, which is really cool. And again, I don't know how they do it. But I'll tell you right now, I mean, you know, the venue that Shine's running tonight and all the venues that we have coming up, they have incredible upload speed. That's one of the key things that we look for, and try to ensure that it's, that we're capable of doing it. And, you know, I mean, there are other options, man. Like, if we need to ensure that we have a good stream, you can look at satellite trucks and things of that nature. But, you know, I mean, we want to bring the best video quality we can to the fans, man. Like, to me, I'm a fan.
So we have
the last time. Oh, I'm sorry, Brian.
I was just going to say we have two announcements to make. So let's talk about that, and then you can get your question in, Mike.
Yeah, man. So we just dropped, you know, I like to keep people on their toes, personally, and just kind of surprise people out of nowhere. And so we just kind of dropped that we've added Beyond Wrestling and DWX out of Charlotte onto the lineup today. We actually have a couple of live events with them coming up very, very soon. And, the one that I'm actually excited about is called the X16. PWX is running a two-night tournament that will sound very familiar to indie fans, the format. But they've got Zack Sabre Jr. and a lot of guys that you know and have seen, and we're going to stream that whole thing both nights. And then in December, man, we've got a doubleheader, a pro wrestling doubleheader on a Saturday. We've got Beyond Wrestling in the afternoon, and then at night we've got Evolve.
So how many shows do we have from now until the end of the year on Flow?
That we've announced, or
that we've announced.
I can tell you. Okay, so I want to say probably 14 at the moment, but stay tuned, man. All I can say is there's going to be a lot of pro wrestling coming your way.
Go ahead, Mike.
I think it's been it's definitely been less than a month since you were on. You know, we're doing the official announcement of starting everything up, or you know, doing all that stuff. What has the reaction been for you? From wrestling fans, from your longtime MMA comrades, just in general, what has the feedback been for Flo and for the whole project starting up?
It's really been super positive for the most part. It's been interesting for me because it's kind of a one-man operation right now. That'll be changing shortly, but it's been weird. So obviously, you've got the people on Twitter who are super smart. In business and everything in life, and they've got their opinions. I get bombarded with that daily. But then, man, honestly, for the most part, the pro wrestling community at large has been really supportive. Like, I think they can kind of see that we're coming in. We're not just a money mark coming in, you know, trying to just we're not doing this for fun, right? We're actually doing this to help build independent wrestling. And I think people are seeing that. And so it's been pretty cool. You know, the talent, a lot of the guys and a lot of the workers in a bunch of different promotions are super excited that I've talked to, but the downside, man, for me is I'm kind of the filter for every promotion in the world that now wants to talk to us. Like, it's my job to filter the good ones and send them on. That's not a fun job, guys, let me tell you. I've talked to more wrestling promoters in the last 10 days than I even care to admit.
Where would you rank the number of... Actually, I guess there's a different way to ask this question. So, can you tell what the sign-up rate is for people that are interested in Flow Slam as opposed to just sign-ups? For example, if you sign up, you have full access to everything, right? I can do the Flow March?
Yep. Well, so it depends. If you do monthly, you don't get the full experience. But if you do the yearly subscription for $150, which makes it $1,250 a month, then you get every site we have right now and every site we will launch.
Okay, so are you able...
Your favorite.
You able to kind of determine, man, we got a bunch of sign-ups this week, and X percentage of those are here because they're getting ready for Flow Slam? Or is it kind of hard to determine because if you get a bunch of annual sign-ups, you don't really know what they signed up for?
No, we know. I mean, so we can track that kind of stuff down to even, like, what tweet generated the most interest in sign-ups. I mean, they do a lot. Our marketing team is super... They are phenomenal at their jobs, and they can track all that stuff. But, like, you know, up until now, we haven't had a live event, you know, and so pretty much any subscription that we've got so far is based on what we've put up. And, you know, either people want to be a part of the service, what's coming up, or they like that we've put up some archives and they want to watch them. And I can track, like, what archive generates the most interest. Like when I put up Evolve 1, that more popular than Shine 37. Like I can track all that stuff and I can see all that stuff. And it's pretty fun to watch, man. It has been a long 10 days, but it's fun to watch that stuff. The reception is, it actually exceeds my expectations. Things are going real well. And we are not done. Let me just put it that way. We're not done.
I was going to ask about the last 10 days. Have you slept is the main question. And how is the process of getting all of these shows up there? I mean, what percentage of the library is up, and how long do you anticipate it will be before it's all up there?
As a longtime wrestling fan, somebody who like fantasized about having all these libraries, it is an incredible task. It's not so much uploading these things and getting them to the, to the site. It's the fact that we have to encode them so that anybody who wants to watch it can view it on their device at any speed. And that process takes a long time, man. We've kind of been working around it, figuring it out. And I have most of the WWN library up right now, but it has not been made public because I have to go in and make sure that the event is named right and that the card is in there. I got to make it look pretty for the fans. I don't want the fans to go to a page and see, like the mistake I made with my first archive was I actually had the match results below the video, not
Oops.
Thinking. that inspired some hatred, right? So
that would be a spoiler.
To make it look
people
pretty.
Don't like those.
Yeah, I spoiled it. Exactly. I should have known. But so I'm going through and I'm getting everything ready. We're going to start dropping more and more and more over the next probably 7 days, including some really cool stuff that like we haven't even talked about yet. We've got some gold mines, and I'm kind of trying to figure out the best way to put it out. But I'll tell you one thing, man. Like the libraries, the stuff we have in the archives, we've got some stuff that people have never. I don't want to say never seen before, but maybe thought was long gone, and we're gonna get to roll it out, man. I can't wait, man. It's actually hard for me to be patient, Brian.
Like, all right.
It's really hard.
We got about a minute here, but I want to make sure you get a chance to get out. How can people sign up right now and watch Shine tonight on any platform?
Yeah, so you just go to flowslam.tv and you can sign up right there, or you can sign up on your Apple TV or Roku, just straight up like you would subscribe to anything else. And I look forward to watching the event with everybody.
So it'll air live, and then how quickly will it be archived? Immediately?
I'm working on that right now, but my goal is immediately, like within 10 minutes, I'm hoping it will be available for the fans to watch.
Well, there you go. Jeremy, I want to give you a chance, Twitter for Flow Sports, Flow Slam, your Twitter, etc. How can people find out more?
Oh man, I'm at Jeremy Bonner on Twitter, but really just follow at Flow Slam and keep watching. Cause like I've worked my butt off on this and I hope everybody digs it, and I'm going to keep working my butt off. And, I'm a fan working on something that I think fans will like. And if you got feedback that's constructive, send it to me. If not, I don't have time for that.
All right, Jeremy, I want to thank you so much for doing the show today. We're going to head to a break, everybody. We will be back in just a moment with the Doctor of Lucha, talking all things Lucha Libre, Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. Back here on the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, and the Doctor of Lucha is here today. Steve Sims here on the show, who's so sad that I'm on the program here today. He thought it was just going to be you, Mike.
Yeah, because we were going to talk nothing but baseball.
I just heard a rumor that Mike and I were going to have a one-on-one conversation.
About the Cubs? Give me a break.
It's an amazing thing after 108 years, but it wasn't even the biggest miracle of the week.
Now, before we get into the biggest miracle of the week, has the Cubs fan even updated since this happened? What's he doing right now?
God only knows what he's... Yeah, he's updated, but yes, God only... I have had a college team that I rooted for that won a major championship and a pro team that I won a major championship in the past. And it takes a while before you come down from that. For me, it was about 48 to 72 hours. You just want to sit there and just read everything about it and talk to people about it and et cetera, et cetera. And it just, it's, it will end up being the sort of thing that you look back on when you're 60, 70, 80, and you remember just all those sorts of little details about the year and the events leading up to it and stuff like that. It's the stuff of which dreams and many memories are made.
I wonder if his website...
Now, it's not like, you know, having your first child. It's not the same as having your first child.
Hey, but, for some people, it's way more memorable. Now, listen, I know that everybody goes to...
All those potty trips at 2 in the morning.
Yes, luchablog.com. I know that's where everybody goes, but I always went to the cubsfan.com/CMLL.
I still do.
I wonder if the Cubs fan... That website has just exploded in traffic from non-wrestling fans who are Googling Cubs, and I'm a huge fan, and they're all reading about wrestling now.
Well, it could be. Of course, he's got the at Cubs fan for a Twitter handle, too, so you can just imagine the sort of Twitter feed, the casual Twitter feed that he would suddenly get over the past couple of weeks as they've gone through the playoffs. But it's... You know, in modern days, how do people contact you more? Is it Facebook Messenger? Is it Twitter? Is it through website, emails, et cetera, et cetera? It's however it is, I'm sure he's getting a lot of feedback and not minding almost any of it.
You know what? If you go to CubsFan.com and not thecubsfan.com/CMLL, if you go to CubsFan.com, it actually takes you right to the Chicago Cubs official website. So
wow.
I'm sure somebody has had some confusion at some point and maybe become a Cubs fan.
Website for several million dollars then.
Now, Steve, let me ask you this question. Based on the teams that were involved in the World Series this year, and there was a lot on the line for both of them, the Cleveland Indians came up short. Now, the next time the WWE goes to Cleveland... Is it a good idea for them to bury the Cleveland fans, or is this too hot an issue for those folks?
Well, by the next time they're in Cleveland, it'll be, you know, pitchers and catchers report in less than 100 days for the next season. I mean, there's always another season. One of the things you learn when you're a sports fan is no matter how super the Super Bowl is or how climactic the World Series is, suddenly in about 3 months, there's another season. And you go on and you move forward and things become lessened. You really can only do it just if you're going to do that sort of heat or draw that sort of attention to it, you can really only do it at the week or two of the playoffs and maybe a week or two afterwards. And after that, it fades.
All right, what's the biggest miracle of the week?
Like the NBA championship, of which they are very proud and very happy and have a strong likelihood of being, you know, championship contenders again this year, so they'll be quite fine really quickly.
All right, what's the big miracle of the week?
The big miracle of the week? You think 108 years waiting for the Cubs to win? We waited even longer than that, I think, if you add up all the people that were waiting for it. But we actually had Ray Bucanero had a good match this past Tuesday night in Arena, Mexico.
Now, come on, I saw this guy have good matches a decade ago. Maybe not a decade.
Yeah,
15 years ago.
But for a lot of us who watch every single CMLL show that they can, it's been dog years worth. That's, you know, multiply that 10 times 7. And it's been dog years since we've seen a really good match. But the original NWA World Light Heavyweight Championship from back in the 40s or 50s in Mexico was up for grabs. Ray Bucanero had held the belt for a while, and now that the Universal Champion of Champions tournament was over and Valiente took that title home, now they can go ahead for the next 10 or 11 months and change all their titles if they want to change. And they gave the chance for a championship match to a guy from Monterrey who came to CMLL a few years ago after working independence, wrestler by the name of Hechicero, and Hechicero won the title from Ray Bucanero this past Tuesday night in a really, really good match, one of the best matches I've seen in a long time. Not the usual CMLL script, too, which is one of the things that in the last Figure Four Weekly I wrote, CMLL has tended to get into a rut lately with its big show singles matches, and this was not one of those. This was, it still had the CMLL kind of clean wrestling and near falls stuff like that, but they worked it a little more a little more individualistically, and I enjoyed the match greatly.
So when do you think we'll see another good Ray Bucanero match?
It does. I think that was it. I think that's
that was it.
The last one.
Are the Cubs going to win again, or is Ray Bucanero going to have a good match?
Oh no, the Cubs will be. In fact, in the booking odds already, the Cubs are like first. They already have opening lines for next year's World Series.
Really?
And the Cubs are in first place, and the Dodgers, believe it or not, are in second betting option.
That's crazy.
But the Cubs are much smaller odds than everybody else. They have a young team that hasn't hit its age peak that you would think. And, of course, they have the key thing is they have a lot of really good starting pitching, but... they don't do risky high dives off the top rope that will destroy your knees over time, and they don't do just wild tables and chair spots. They just strike people out, so they have a chance.
Steve, this is a really random question. Just because you brought up the lightweight title, historic title from the 40s, the NWA title, just because guys have passed away and this man hasn't, and he is. Really of legendary status to a certain point, and nobody really knows who he is. Dory Dixon, who I know is still alive, was the historic, I think, light heavyweight champion, or there's the NWA light heavyweight champion.
Mm-hmm.
What is, he just gets no attention at all, and he's such a fascinating figure in a lot of ways, I think.
He stays out of the limelight. He still goes to matches occasionally. He lives outside of Mexico City, in a town called Puebla. Actually, I think he lives what would technically be called the suburbs of Puebla. He is retired there. He is very, most of his waking hours are involved with church-related activities. And even though he follows wrestling and goes to matches occasionally, he's moved on like some wrestlers do. He's moved on to a different area of life. And now in his 70s and maybe even early 80s, but surely in his 70s, still in very good shape, still very very lucid, very, very interesting to talk to. But he no longer feels any particular need to have the limelight.
We're all glossing over with all this talk of Dory Dixon. We're glossing over the real big story of the week, which arguably is bigger than the Cubs' victory. The fact that the Guerrero clan is now out of wrestling forever. Chavo's retired.
Isn't that... Well, out of wrestling forever is a very interesting
forever.
Concept.
Steve, did you not watch the show? There's no more Guerreros. Yeah. Matt Stryker says we're going to forget the name Guerrero.
No Reros.
We're not going to forget the name Guerreros, and we're not going to forget the name... the family name, even if by circumstances Chavo got promoted way up the ladder and really did not ever wrestle again, and none of the current generation wrestled again because they were all doing other things. The next wrestling stipulation of that severity that is honored will be the first. So I'm not worried about it.
Let me ask you this question about Chavo Classic. Is it just me, or did he look like he was doing better now than he was when he was in his run in WWE? Am I imagining things?
Yeah, that was a strange run in WWE. I don't know the story, so I won't speculate. But yeah, I noticed the same thing. I know he looked a lot more relaxed, happy. I mean, shape is different when you're in your 60s, but I mean, he looked fine.
Now, what do we know anything new about Lucha Underground? Is there a season coming up? What are the guys doing? Yeah. Are they taking bookings?
I believe there's a season 4 that will start filming the latter half of January. I believe there's some other, besides the fact that I believe a lot of the wrestlers have been either formally or informally told not to take dates around that time, that they're going to try and run stuff through, and I have heard absolutely nothing to the reverse extent. I've heard nothing that would indicate anything that they've got enough shows in the can and they're going to try and market it all over the world just with what they have. I think they're going to continue. I think they're going to be fine. I don't think AAA has as much influence as it does anymore in the organization. I think wrestlers that AAA has no more use for, from Sexy Star to others, will still be a part of Lucha Underground's plans, but I would very, very, very strongly expect a new season to start filming before February 1st.
Okay, I got to ask about my man Jack Evans, fired from AAA. This just is not
telling
right.
Telling the truth.
Yeah. What happened?
What kind of a world do we live in when the Cubs win the World Series and you get fired for telling the truth?
Well, we live in the wrestling world, actually. But what did Jack Evans say?
All that he said was this very this you know essentially who's in their AAA storyline and world they live in, the fellow who would probably be the lead babyface to the mass of people that are watching the promotion. That's Laparca, the replacement Laparca, who has been the replacement Laparca for over 20 years. So he's Laparca now. Jack Evans simply said that he sucks in the ring, but he still gets himself over, and I can learn a lot from that. And all AAA had to hear was the first four or five words of that sentence, and they apparently told Mr. Evans we had no more use for you. But being that Jack Evans is a reliable and well-liked person, even by the people who let him go, I suspect we may see him back before... Let's say I expect him to work AAA in 2016. I'd be surprised if he didn't.
All right. Now, got about 2 minutes here. Lucha Underground has been running live events, and some people are baffled by the lack of promotion for them and want to know what the hell's going on. I figure it's just a bunch of sold shows. What happened? How did they draw?
It's the Tamale Festival.
What's your take?
Aren't you flying to the Tamale Festival?
Give me a break. I'm not flying anywhere, Steve.
Even if it's just for the tamales in Escondido, I've never been to the Tamale Festival, but I've been in Escondido the day that the Tamale Festival has occurred, and it's a traffic. It's a mile traffic. They get much more cars than those surface streets can handle, and so you really got to make an early and concerted effort to go. However, it's very popular locally, and there are people that can walk up to it, and I expect it to do very well. Unfortunately, I don't have the answer to your question, your general question, though. I don't know how the Lucha Underground arranged with these particular three events. I presume there's a tie-in somewhere, but I don't know what it is. That these three events in these three cities were chosen for live shows. And you know, they're not big arenas. They're not even arenas. They're just places. So it's very strange.
All right, we're going to head to a break, everybody. When we come back, we'll tell you how to hear more from Dr. Lucha, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Well, you're back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And Dr. Lucha, tell everybody how they can learn more about you and Lucha Libre.
Well, other than my appearances on this show, which I am hoping will be regular on Fridays for a while now, I am available to, at about the rate of 600 words or so a week, to be read at Figure Four Weekly, which if you don't subscribe, as usual, we're going to have to throw you off the cliff.
That's right. And at Dr. Lucha Jr., back in action?
To a very limited extent so far, yes.
All right, so Figure Four Weekly, everybody, is a place to go. Dr. Lucha does a story every single week in the newsletter. He's here most every Friday, except weeks when we happen to have a double booking, which happens more frequently than you would think, but we'll get him up here to talk all of the latest in Lucha. And we are out of time, everybody. I want to thank y'all for listening. We're here Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Daily replays, 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern. Check us out, sportsbyline.com. Subscribe to WrestlingObserver.com. 2 to 3 shows every day, only for subscribers. 8,500 archived shows dating back a decade. You'll never run out of audio at WrestlingObserver.com, the best wrestling site in the world. Sign up today and don't miss out. And that's it from here. Thanks, Mike, everybody at Byline, Dr. Lucha. We'll talk to you again next time. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.